Hey, y'all. Coach Judith, can you see me? Is this, are we live? Yes. Hey, Coach Dina. It was so fast. And it gave me a different message. So, y'all, I'm going to need to take a breath. And I'm going to, y'all come on in. Please jump in the chat. Hey, Alice Wright. I saw you today in the Facebook group. Becky, how you doing? I'm going to change my name because I am not Corinne Crabtree. But this always takes a minute for me to find. It's so funny. And when I first started coaching, it was always, it was interesting to me, right? It was my own little research project I would do on myself. And I remember telling Kathy Hartman, at one point, it took me about 10 minutes in before I finally realized like how to find my brain and how to calm down and kind of how to get off autopilot, which let me tell you, I was so thankful to have my autopilot skills because I leaned heavily into them to manage myself. I can't see it right now. I can't see how to change my name. That is so funny. I think I could do a click on the name. Let me pop the chat out. I think that's part of the problem. Participants. No, can't see it. All right. Well, it'll come to me later. So y'all be sure and make yourself set to everyone so that we can all see your comments in the chat. Welcome to the Friday night call on making sure I stay right. Stop eating your face off at night. My name is Coach Judith. I am a coach with no BS. I am also a private one-on-one coach with no BS. I have about 30 amazing clients I coach weekly. You also see me in the Facebook group and you see me in Ask Coaches. And I'm just loving all the love. Please send more emojis. Did Dina say something? oh, look at that. It is so fun. That is some good energy. Thank you. Wow. Yes. Thank you. I need that tonight. There's a lot of you here tonight. So it's good. It's good to be here. I'm grateful for y'all to be here. I want to tell a little bit about my story. I think what I hear is some of the most impactful things about me seems to come from my story and my willingness to share my story. And when I talk with my clients and I help coach them, I always share in hopes that they hear a part of themselves, that they recognize a part of their story in me, because I do believe that is part of the coaching message and part of the coaching privilege is that we are a collective experience, that my experience is no more unique than what you're going through, that you can recognize parts of you and parts of me. So, and I've gone round and round. Who is Coach Julie? Has her hand raised? I can't figure that out. Let me get this settled before I start talking. Thank you, Julie. how do I want to begin? I am someone, I think it's kind of, I'm going to start with last year when I started with No BS. I was actually hired on Corinne's birthday of 2020, the year of COVID. And I knew I had anxiety, right? But I was so used to having anxiety. It was, you know, it was just like who I was. It was part of me. I had learned to live with it. But what I didn't also realize is how small I was living with my anxiety. So fast forward a few months later, and my mom unexpectedly passed away. Like there was a short period there, but it was rather sudden and unexpected. And last year, I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was going on with me and my nervous system. And I can remember telling Kathy Hartman that I cannot thought work my way out of what's going on in my body. I don't know what's wrong with me, but I cannot do thought work. I cannot figure this out. So I was on a mission last year to figure me out. And it started with what I recognized was feelings, but I had a lot of feelings. So through my research, I learned, discovered that anxiety is stored survival stress response system in the body. I know that's a mouthful, but in the simplest terms, what that means is that I experienced things as a child that was too much too soon for my nervous system to handle. And as a result, I developed patterns of thinking and did not learn how to regulate my nervous system. And as a result, could not regulate, and the dysregulation became more pervasive, throwing in my mom's passing away, that I learned that people who have a tendency to have anxiety and depression, when they experience grief, the trauma of the grief also is more intense and can throw you out of the window of tolerance. I am talking about a lot of things here, and I'm aware of that. So I'm going to try to slow down. I want to tell you one, that we do have a resource in No BS. Trusting your body is about your nervous system. It's learning your nervous system with compassion. It's done by Coach Jing. I highly recommend that. If you have not taken that class and you are someone who is a binger or eats your face off at night, someone who experiences anxiety or depression, or has trouble regulating your emotions, that course is for you as soon as you have finished No BS, the weight loss course. So how this relates to me and my overeating and my my nighttime eating is where I started recognizing. So I went from learning about the nervous system to I'm currently enrolled in classes for the nervous system. I'm also learning about codependency and anxiety. So all of these are the components of my mammalian physiology. This is who Coach Judith is. And I just keep peeling the onion back and discovering, you know, that I am a system of thoughts and patterns and behaviors, right? Patterns of behavior. And understanding that it's coming from a physiological response, that thought work is amazing, but until you learn to regulate your nervous system and you're able to process emotions and what you're experiencing in your body, if you're someone who's having difficulty managing your feelings, this, you could hear parts of you in me. So I hope that makes sense. I'm going to take a pause here and collect myself. And again, I'm going to scroll through the chat. If you have any questions you want to ask me, you can. Oh, there's how I changed my name. This is a good place to take a pause. So I, on more of my studies to discover me, I also never learned about feelings and what feelings mean. You know, Corinne teaches us that feelings are indicators. Feelings are, you know, the blinkers on the car to check in what's going on under the hood. And I don't even know that I could process that. deep breath. You are doing great. People can relate. Oh, thank you. That learning about what feelings mean. And I can hear my voice shaking. And that's another thing too, that when you recognize you have anxiety, and I'm really, what is so interesting, I've been so regulated since like January that it's been a little, that I had the opposite concern. Like, am I depressed? What's wrong with me? I don't know what's going on. I'm not feeling a lot of feelings, you know? So to have anxiety on board this morning, it's just a good friend and a good reminder that I too get to continually practice living in my mammalian body and breathing. And I'm going to pull out I think it's called a Huberman ball. I thought this was a neat demonstration. Can y'all see this? Give me a thumbs up if just even watching this helps you relax, right? So it's a device that I came across. I was studying some Peter Levine. And this is all going to relate because I'm also studying somatics. And So seeing this, when it expands, we want to breathe in through the nose. If y'all want to join me, help me regulate myself right here, lifetime. I'm going to take a breath in through my nose. And release through my nose. Okay. Thank you for that. I'm so glad I did that for myself. So when I first recognized having what I'm identifying now in my college years was I was probably dysregulated in college. I did develop an eating disorder. And when I recognized like some of the vocabulary that I had then, like it felt like a reset. It felt like food was, definitely changing my state. And all this to say that through the research that I'm doing for my own nervous system and through the polyvagal theory, through Jane's work, and definitely identifying that there can be this relationship with food and our inability to learn to regulate our nervous system. And so for me, that's just kind of the roll in I wanted to give you of kind of where I'm at, what my understanding is, and through the codependency work that I've done, the thing that I keep coming up with is loneliness and not belonging. And this also is with my mom's passing. It wasn't just simply my mother passing. It's the relationships with existing family members and my codependency traits within there. And understanding that if you're someone who had childhood trauma, again, I was a loved child. It was not that I was not loved. And I was very well cared for. But I did experience things as a child that was too much too soon for my nervous system to handle. So that, as a result of itself, led to me overeating to try and regulate myself. So, codependent no more. Good book. Good to know. So here's kind of how I thought we would roll tonight. Oh, the loneliness, recognizing through the codependency, the loneliness and how it is such a deep, for people who go through codependency, that need for belonging, the isolation we put ourselves through because we are, we don't want to upset other people, and being around other people feels complicated when we're just learning to regulate our own nervous system. And for whatever reason, it's not because we don't love our people. I just want to emphasize that it's a purposeful isolation that I'm doing. But with it also brings this extreme loneliness. And while it sounds like it's chosen, like it would be super easy to be like, yeah, Judith, just go connect with some people. Call your people. Sometimes it, that voice in your head gets more pervasive and says that, no one wants to talk to you. Oh, you don't want to bug anybody. And, you're just too needy right now. Those kinds of things will go on. I'm a human too. And so I was listening or reading with Brené Brown, and she has some work and where she talks about loneliness through, it's Dr. Vivek Murthy, M-U-R-T-H-Y, not Murphy, where he talks about people who experience loneliness are less productive at work, less creative, just from the, because it shuts down parts of our brain. And I wanted to also show you another little prop I have here, my brain. I wanted to show you about the amygdala in our brain, right? So the amygdala. This is this little thing right here. This is where the fight, flight, freeze response is in our brain. This is our emotional regulator right here. And learning that my amygdala was my fire alarm in 2020 was super helpful. But what I love to, what I love about showing the brain, and I hope you all can see this, give me a thumbs up if it's not, if you can see it okay. It looks kind of blown out on my, okay. Okay. The white part's blown out. So this is your brainstem, and your vagus nerve travels up the brainstem to get information. Shoot. It's because it's so dark in here. So it travels up the brainstem to the amygdala. And this is where your emotions will live. This is your prefrontal cortex. When you are spending a lot of time here in your emotions, dysregulated, you do not have access to your prefrontal cortex. When you're tired, tiredness lives in here. It's in here. It's an emotion. It's coming down through here. The brainstem is delivering the information to your brain. This is why you're filling out discovery worksheets so late at night because you don't have, this is why you're choosing foods that's not on your plan. This is my belief, because we're spending so much time in here. This is where we're on autopilot. And real estate wise, you do not have access to this. Throw in a hard day's work, stress, you didn't take care of yourself, you're not hydrated, you didn't sleep well the night before, all the things, and you are literally living in your emotional response system right here. Okay. With that said, I would like to coach some people. And I see I have one person raised their hand, and I would like to coach a couple people. So I just need you to raise your hands and see if I can change my name. Rename now. I'm going to take a breath right here. Yes, Coach Judith, all in caps. How about that? We got it done. So if you're having, right, Veronica, seeing that model is, I think it's super powerful, right? There's this, you can also use your hand. I can't get the same thing here. Like pretend this is your brainstem and this is your amygdala. This is your prefrontal cortex right here. And so if we're in the emotion, if we're activated, if we are someone who's in fight, flight, freeze, fawn response, this is where we are. And what happens is we literally flip our lid and we don't have access to our prefrontal cortex, to our executive functions. Frustration, I can't tell you how many times last year I had a protocol for myself for flip the lid. That's right, Becky. Flip the lid and we can't execute here. But having a frustration protocol for yourself, because I learned that frustration was all I needed. A little frustration would flip my lid. I couldn't do simple things on the back end. And how this relates to overeating is because it's at nighttime when we're tired, y'all. Okay, we have lots of hands raised. So here's what I'm going to do. I'll call you up. Okay, Alondra Campos, I am calling you up. I'm going to promote you to panelist. Jen, I love that that helped you, right? The visual, I'm a visual learner as well. And it made sense to me too. Like, wow, you know, there's just not a lot of space in there in the brain. And if we're in our emotion, Alondra, I did call you up. I don't know if it's just taken a super long time. All right. Allison Cairns. Oh, Alondro. Yes. I'm going to call Alondro. You need to. Oh, there you are. All right. I'm going to raise you up. Promote to panelists. I hope you have a good internet service, y'all. That's going to be helpful. What am I doing daily to calm my nervous system? That's a great question, Laura. You know, up until today, Alondra, I'll get right to you. I meditate daily. I try to take breaks, depending on how my day is going, every 2.5 to 3 hours. Ideally, I would do it on the every 30 minutes, but I'm working my way there. I really limit my caffeine. I am practicing standing. I have a standing desk. I've also found that sometimes when I sit for 4 or 5 hours a day, I'll find myself in like a depressed state, you know, not really depressed, but like, oh, you know, funky and tired. So I'm starting to do like 30 jumping jacks right at my desk. I use the Calm app. That's exactly what I do. I have tried tapping. I try humming. I have done some cool breath work too. Y'all, I'm learning so much, but we're going to talk to Alejandro. I hope I'm saying your name right.
Yes, it's fine. Don't worry. Hi.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you. I'm so happy to be in this call. I'm just going to cry.
You go ahead. Yeah.
I'm having a rough time. I just moved out from my home. And I've been out of my home from 1 month. I'm living by myself now. And I have been having a lot of binges every day, you know. It's not at nighttime. It's like at the afternoon. And I just posted as coaches because I feel like my house is a mess. I have no order in my home. You know, it's a thought, you know, because I do have some order. But I'm just having a lot of binges and the scale went up and my first thought is I want to restrict. I want to, you know, like go and like super hard on myself, but I can feel the emotion that I'm having, and it's not about the food, you know, it's about the emotion. Food is not like a protein shake or like going on super restrictive things is not going to solve the emotional part, you know, and that I'm having a rough time there, Coach Judith.
Okay. Well, tell me, what emotion are you feeling? If you tell me, you know, the feeling you're having, the emotion.
Yeah. I'm stressed. I feel lonely too, you know? And I've been working. I feel so, I mean, I didn't know that this call was happening until 5 minutes ago. And I just feel so identified with what you said with codependency and all these things. And I chose to be alone this time, you know? I chose that. But sometimes I feel lonely. I feel stressed. But I did choose this time for myself and to know myself and to disconnect from some drama that was happening before.
Mm-hmm. I recognize that too. So if I showed you this again, first I want to,
yeah.
If we think about what's going on, stress, it's happening here in the white and the orange, your brainstem and stress. And when we are in the emotion, it makes sense that we don't have access to prefrontal cortex. If you think your house is messy, maybe it is. I don't know. But maybe it would make sense that we're not doing things that require more executive function, because the state of stress in the nervous system can shut down, right? And if we think about where you are on the nervous system scale, above home base would be like anxiety. Home base would be where we feel social and connected. And below home base would be where we're carrying more low level feelings of like depression and overwhelm. If you hearing those choices, which one of those do you think your nervous system, your mammalian part, feels like you're at?
I think I'm above.
Above home base?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, tell me what feelings, if we did a body scan.
Okay. Right,
we close your eyes and take a breath. And I want you to start at the top of your head. And tell me if you feel anything in your head or your throat. any sensations, tightness, restriction, constriction?
Yeah, I feel my throat is closed.
Throat is closed.
Mm-hmm. My shoulders are super tight.
Mm-hmm.
I do have a headache.
Mm-hmm. What else are you feeling?
My stomach is like constricted, like tight.
Mm-hmm. So, Alondra, I want you to go to the feeling that has the sense that is the most intense in your body. Is it your head, your throat, your shoulders, your stomach?
My shoulders.
Okay, let's go to the shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to stay. I want you to focus only on your shoulders. And I want you to tell me when you notice any change. If it gets tighter or if it gets looser. If it gets hot or cold.
It gets looser when I breathe.
Let's take a breath together. And we'll go in through our and out through the mouth. A little longer on the exhale. One more time in through the nose. Out through the mouth. If that feeling on your shoulders was here to tell you something, what do you think that feeling is here to tell you, that sense in your shoulders?
That I don't have to carry all of this alone.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Let the tears come. There's healing in the tears. Yes. You don't have to carry this. You're not alone. How are your shoulders feeling?
Looser.
Yeah. You're getting lots of love in the comments here. It's like giving yourself a hug.
Yeah. Thank you.
And you know, you can actually do that. I don't know if I can do it in this shirt, y'all. But you can. This is called, it's a form of self-regulation. Any type of skin-to-skin contact, giving yourself a hug. There's another technique where you can take mm-hmm. your right hand and put mm-hmm. it on your heart side. We're going to tuck it in.
Okay.
Hug over here.
Okay.
And we cross meridians. And this is something you can do when you're alone. To help co-regulate your nervous system. And all that means is that you have the ability to self-soothe and help manage your emotions. Remember, there's no good or bad emotions, but certainly there are ways that we can improve our nervous system for our quality of life. Right.
Okay.
Offering that to yourself. As this relates to your binges,
mm-hmm.
is this something you could do for yourself throughout the day, taking a pause, allowing yourself the opportunity to cry? Because we can't heal, this phrase is used so often, we can't heal what we don't feel. Like I was saying, I couldn't do thought work mm-hmm. when I so much emotion last year. It just made no sense to me because my life, my body, my physiology was on fire. So learning to, I ask my clients if they could do it every hour to do something for your nervous system, to do something to care for yourself. It can be a walk. And when you're on the walk, outside's going to be best. Y'all, any chance we can get into nature?
Yeah.
Best for our nervous system, because the earth has natural healing energy to it, right? Trees, barefoot in the grass or in the ocean, wherever you are. And just letting your nervous system be exposed to some good environmental factors. You know, that being in front of electronics is probably one of the worst things we can do for ourselves in a house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And taking those breaths and pauses, and Dina's going to drop in the chat that the pause is simply the learning to be intentional before you do something, before you react, before you eat. Can I just pause right here? Can I just pause and check in with myself, ground myself in this moment? Maybe it's a walk. Maybe it's the hand on the heart or a gentle hug, and calming my nerves. And what am I thinking? What am I feeling in my body? And letting that feeling exist and know that you belong. And you, the story your brain's going to tell you because of that feeling, mm-hmm. its story will follow state. Does that mm-hmm. make sense when I say that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stories will keep coming, and I find a lot of relief in that because I can hold that space for myself.
Okay.
And I can think, this is loneliness. Yes. And this feeling is here to tell me to connect, and connection is available to me. And I'm going to first connect with myself, and I can love myself through this. And you can connect with people. Y'all, another form, another vocabulary word is co-regulation. Dina has that already. And that's where spending time with another person who has their nervous system regulated. And right now I can tell you my nervous system is regulated. When I first started the call, I was not so much, but now I'm in it. And so exposing yourself to another human who is regulated can help you regulate your nervous system. And you can do this. It's great to do it with permission to have those people in your life.
Okay.
And also, you know, ask a friend to be your co-regulation buddy.
Yeah.
Maybe you guys in some of these accountability groups, you know, can
yeah.
help each other. Because, you know, you can tell when someone gets on a call and they're, woo.
Yeah.
Help regulate them. But you can do this for yourself. So do you have any questions for me?
Yes. So that's why, I mean, for example, I bought some granola and some chips. You know, that those are the foods that I have been binging on. How, I mean, I'm going to give myself a pause mm-hmm. and I'm going to go on walks and sleep, because I am like sleep deprived. But my brain immediately goes to, it's not safe to have these foods on my home. You know, you have to throw them. You are not going to lose weight having those foods at your home. But how do I manage that? You know, how is it safe for me, or it's just a story? Yeah.
Let's go back to your body. If you want to close your eyes or lower your gaze and take a breath, and let's ask your body. And the brain's going to want to jump in the way, but ask your deep intuition, is it safe to have granola and cheese in my house? What does your body say?
Yeah, it's safe.
Yeah, it's safe. It's safe to have it in the house. It's when I can regulate myself. When I get out of my head and back into my body and calm my nervous system, it's safe to have the food in the house. It's safe. What are you thinking? What are you noticing?
That all that is happening, all the binges and everything, I do not have to feel guilty. It's a way that my body has been helping me to notice my emotions and to go through my emotions. But that I also can learn new strategies.
Yes. Yes. You are capable of neuroplasticity, of new neural pathways, of new change. And it works best. It works so much better when we're calm and the more we can slow down. One of my biggest triggers that I learned last year was rushing through, trying to push through a project, because that's how I learned to get through, don't you know? Yeah. Yeah. Work hard. I'm a hard worker. That shit did not fly last year. I was hijacked, right? The brain was hijacked. It's the same for you. We cannot push through. We cannot sleep deprive our way through. That recognizing our body is giving us signals of what it needs, and it's going to try and regulate itself one way or another. And it's neither bad nor good. But when we have a goal with our prefrontal cortex, remember that's where goals live up here. That to get in alignment, to create peace in our nervous system, that the binges will become less and less. We may always binge, but the more we practice, y'all, this takes practice and patience. And it's a loving relationship to have with yourself, to come back and either getting co-regulation with another, learning to self-regulate. And when you are ready to, you know, and be near people, right? When you to be around others, you will be able to soothe yourself. And it's creating that safe feeling. Again, trusting your body is an amazing class.
Yes.
And giving yourself the grace and forgiveness. Your body is giving signals, and when we're in our emotional brain, we're just trying to figure it out.
Okay. Thank you very much, Coach Shibi. I love you. Thank you. You know, this has meant a lot for me. Thank you. Really.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, everyone, for Alula. I love you guys. Thank you.
So much love. So much love.
Thank you. Bye.
Y'all, that takes so much courage. I can't see how to put you down.
Don't worry. Do you want me to go off the call and re-enter?
I found it.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
I think I'm good. Y'all, not only, this was not anxiety in this moment, it was my old lady eyes. It's a long story with prescription glasses and me. Wasn't that amazing? Could y'all see the shift when we just get into our bodies and trust and get out of our heads? The stories our brains tell are so, oh, look, so much love. You're not alone. Just breathe. So good. You got this, girl. Okay. Allison, you still have your hand up. I'm going to raise you to promote to panelist. I'm going to pour myself some more water.
All right. Good evening. Hi.
How are you?
Good, good. Thank you for doing this. So a couple weeks ago, I don't know if it was on a maintenance call or Queen's Club, Corinne coached me a little bit on it, and it went a little bit different direction. With the nighttime eating, I am sneak eating, but I'm sneak eating more during the day, but at night I feel like it's a dopamine hit.
Yeah.
Like so I was working on trying to do stuff to relax, and that's kind of what Corinne coached me on, was relaxing. But like you said at the beginning of this call, you were sure that there was not a thought that would get you through this. And that's where I was like, no. And now I'm curious because I've been in the tribe since 2019. I've hit goal. I've been in maintenance. I'm loving the new maintenance because I was either losing weight or gaining, and the whole identity thing was huge. But I keep coming back to that, almost like the dopamine hit to self-soothe. That's the best.
How does it make sense that you had that dopamine hit? How does it make sense that, when do you first remember sneak eating?
Oh, I was probably 5 or 6 years old, and I was hiding behind the Christmas tree. And my aunt's husband is Hungarian, and they would have these Hungarian like chocolate Christmas ornaments. Mm-hmm. And I would hide under the Christmas tree and open them and eat them and then tie it back up so no one knew. Mm-hmm. And I would just binge all the chocolate.
Right. And why do we not want anybody to know?
I think there was shame in it. So I'm 44 and I'm literally like put iced oatmeal cookies in my pocket yesterday, and I'll grab a snowball and go in the basement and eat it. I'm like, who am I even hiding from? But going back to that childhood, I almost felt like I shouldn't be eating it.
Like you should not be eating the iced oatmeal cookie and the snowball yesterday.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I was talking about the childhood, the Christmas. Yeah. I don't know why, you know, I just felt like I shouldn't be eating it. And it wasn't that I was going to get in trouble. It was probably more of almost like, what would they think of me? I mean, I've never really thought about it.
Was it exciting?
No, it's like this, I call it the cram. That cram feeling of, it's almost like self-soothing of chocolate. I don't know if it was exciting. I don't think I would put exciting to it. If I can like flash back to that, it was almost like I was afraid and like I was going to get caught. So I don't think it was exciting.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, sometimes, so some other research I'm doing is like on trauma, right? And how, what is wired together is fired together. So when you're a kid and you are in fight flight response, of, you know, because that's what we have as children. We don't have executive functioning. We have only this part, right? We are literally, this is what keeps the little humans alive. This is where we're at right here. Mm-hmm. And that's where all of our memories are stored. Everything we've ever done, it's got a neural pathway from childhood. So, you know, would it make sense that if you shouldn't have been eating, right? Because maybe your parents said, or maybe it was exciting as a kid. And then when you're having the iced cookie and the snowball, and you're kind of that shooting on yourself, that same familiar pattern of attaching that together. Like it's that kind of that childhood thing, like, but I'm going to do it anyway. This is dangerous, but I'm going for it. I shouldn't do this, but chocolate's good.
When I almost feel like I was hiding to like and self-soothe myself with it, you know?
What was going on that you needed to self-soothe with?
Well, now that you bring it up, my dad died, and like there was family in there. My dad was really sick, and my parents were a little older even when they had me. And so there wasn't anyone else really my age. So I'm like that little kid hiding behind the Christmas tree, self-soothing myself while all the adults deal with the life stuff. Oh. And shit, I never put that together till right now. So, you know,
if we think about that in the context of trauma, mm-hmm. in the context of too much, too soon for what our nervous system could handle without a compassionate witness there to help us, meaning like an adult to help guide us, and how confusing that could be. And I can see the emotion coming up in your face.
Yeah. Cause I never put that together, that my sneak eating now is still linked to that.
That isolation and confusion, like they're doing, dad died and no one's talking to me and they're all over here and I'm just going to self-soothe with this candy, but not tell anybody. Mm-hmm. This is rewarding.
I got Kleenex right here. I never put it together like that. And it makes so much sense. And I've done the codependent work, and I've done like a 12-step prayer. I've done the codependent no more books that someone mentioned in the chat. And I've done the adult children alcoholics work, and I've done therapy, and I've done, and boom, you just hit it. That's exactly what was going on while I was hiding behind that Christmas tree. And it's like, was stuck or something now.
And so now, releasing it through tears, releasing the energy, right? Because again, definition of trauma is stored emotion, survival stress response in the body. We've wired together and fired together. But now through, I mean, you could journal about this now and evoke tears on purpose, like do this on purpose to help release. I highly encourage, like I'm a big fan of playing music that helps evoke emotion out of me, and journaling to a photo to help get the feeling, and just going all in and practicing, because we know the feelings will end, and that is how we're healing. That is how we're moving through this. And that maybe noticing that the sneaky eating starts going away, or at the very least, we are so much more aware of what we're needing in the moment is not a snowball. What we're needing is a compassionate witness, a compassionate self, being present for the little girl behind the Christmas tree and being there with her. And what did she need in those moments?
And one of the camps, you know, I did the work with the picture and all that, but I never made the connection of the actual moment of me hiding behind the tree and my snack. I call my snack holes my pockets, right? Like, that I never put them together, that's why. Thank you so much. I think you just, because I'm like, I've done all the work and I've done all the leveling, and I feel like that was, and I was putting it to my ADHD and my dopamine hit, but I think there's, and again, we can, that could be something else to address another day, but let me unpack this secret eating with that. I think you just nailed it. So thank you. I won't take up any more time.
Thank you so much for this, and thank you.
You're welcome. All right. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Let me see if I can put you down.
Okay.
Laughing at myself, y'all. Laughing is a way to also help regulate your nervous system. Y'all, I am just a sweat. Too much information, right? Paula, I'm going to call you up and promote you to panelist. I just want to say, like, this is such powerful stuff. Thank you guys so much for your willingness to share with the group. And, you know, and I'm just so grateful that I do want to take a minute. Paula, I'm going to put you on hold. I was thinking about this as I was getting dressed earlier about, you know, the work we do as coaches, and truly how I believe it is, I do believe my mission is to help heal, to help people see through the lens of the life that I grew up with. And while we are working with our one-on-one clients a lot, but when we're in the Facebook group and we're helping you guys, that it is such a gift that Corinne gives us coaches the opportunity to work with you guys on calls like this, to be in the Facebook group, and to be in Ask Coaches to help you guys create your best life too. And I'm just wanting to thank Corinne right here for this opportunity to be of service. So thank you, Corinne. All right, Paula. I'm going to promote you to attendee. Oh, wait a minute. Did I just put you back down? Oh, Paula, raise your hand. Paula, raise your hand again. I clicked the wrong one. Oh, there she is. Oh my gosh, y'all. Thank you. Yes, I'm glad y'all are laughing and not like, oh my God, Judas dinner and a show here. Blame it on my eyes. Ask to unmute. That's what I wanted to push.
That's too funny.
Paula, how can I help you today?
First, I want to thank you. You're thanking Corinne, and we, of course, love Corinne and thank Corinne, but she has picked the most amazing coaches that there are. Every one of you has a different way of helping us, and it's wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I have struggled with overeating at night. I have binged a lot in the past. I've gotten a lot better and done a lot less binging since I've been on No BS, which has been wonderful. And even if I do start to binge, it doesn't last nearly as long as it used to, mm-hmm. Which is also, you know, great. I am married and to a wonderful guy who, you know, works 14 hours a day and is real tired at night and, you know, just wants to chill out, you know, doesn't like to talk a lot. He's a little bit on the spectrum. So, you know, he just needs his own space and his own downtime. And I'm pretty much okay with that most of the time, but I am very lonely. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's, you know, like not anything, it's not his fault. You know, it is the way that he is. We've been married for 20 years and I love him to death, but it's hard sometimes. And I have sisters that are most helpful. Two of them are in the program with me. And very lucky that two of them are in my program because, you know, I can talk with them and they understand and, you know, so we all struggle together. But
that's a real coachable word there, struggle.
You said. I know. But yeah, you know what I mean? In the best of, you know, just struggle with day to day, not food all the time, just life. But not happy and lucky to have each other. But when I feel like I'm doing better, I realize I'm binging on Netflix instead of food in the evening a lot of the times. And I know there's a lot of thought work that needs to be done instead, but it's like I can feel the devil on my shoulder, you know, saying, "You're not hungry. You don't need that." And I say, "And shut up. I don't want to hear you right now." And so it's not like I'm not aware, and it makes me so sad, but I feel like at that point, I don't have self-control. And I know that the food's not in control. I know that I'm in control, but I just feel like I just don't give a shit. You know, at that moment, that's how I feel.
Okay. I need you to take 1 second here. We've got a little bit of lag and delay, and I want to make sure I caught that sentence you just said. Will you say the last two sentences again or ish? Repeat that last bit.
I said that I know that I, the food is not in control. I am in control, but I just don't seem to care at that moment. You know, I mean, the big picture, the goal, whatever, it all goes out of my head and I eat whatever it is. And I know I'm not hungry.
Yeah. What I'm curious, what are you, is this at nighttime when your husband
yes.
he's right there?
Yes.
Room.
Well, yeah, he's like in the next room, you know, laying on the couch sleeping or whatever.
Mm-hmm. And what are you thinking when he's laying in the couch, on the couch and you're in the other room? What are you thinking?
Well, just that I'm lonesome. You know, I wish that, I mean, you know, we don't watch the same programs. We don't have the same life. You know, I mean, we just don't. And it makes it hard, you know.
Is it a hard story you're telling? Here's kind of where I'm trying to get at. A lot of times when, you know, Corinne talks about in Busting Urges, forgive me, I can't tell you what section it is, but, you know, the hard talk, right? We mm-hmm. have hard talk. And if we're feeling at all, you know, angry, bitter, or resentful towards our spouse because mm-hmm. of the lack of connection, if that dialogue, and it could... And you might not be. I just want to say that. Or is it flying under the radar because it's so familiar, 20 years of kind of shutting down and not addressing your needs, right? And what are you needing in those moments?
Yeah, I'm sure that that's probably a bigger part of it, you know, just shutting it down because I don't think that it's fixable on his part.
Yeah,
you know, I really don't. And it's not an intentional thing. It's not, you know, I mean, he's home, you know, he's with me. It's not like, you know, he's, you know, going out and doing anything or everything that he wants to do. You know what I mean? He's not, it's just that is his personality, and that's who he is. And I know this, so I'm trying to learn to be okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just, again, I mean, I do find myself eating so often.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I guess, relieves the pressure, the stress. I don't know.
It's a distraction, right? It's a coping tool that we've used, and it just really, it distracts us from the feeling. And we, again, it's another, could be one of those we wired together and fired together 20 years ago or even before, depending on many factors. It's not uncommon. So let me ask you this. What do you need? What do you need to solve for loneliness? If loneliness is the feeling that tells us that, you know, we are hardwired, we are biologically hardwired for connection with other human beings, period. Facial contact with other human beings, it can be through Zoom, it can be, you know, across the room, but that eye-to-eye connection and that co-regulation with another human being that we want to be with is important.
Yeah. And
this could be your impetus to have conversations with him. I know one of our coaches has done work with her husband where, you know, they just spend time laying together, and that he's a bit on the spectrum, and they spend time just laying together to co-regulate, you know, to meet each other's needs. It's not necessarily in a sexual way, but if it leads to that, so be it. But to, you know, to be intentional.
Yeah.
About that face-to-face time, and even, you know, what, 20 minutes, 30 minutes of intentional time with the TV off, connecting with another human being, of touching, of holding hands, or, you know, looking each other in the face. I'm not saying this is going to be the solution to everything,
right.
But there, if he is in the house with you, and this is your partner, right? You're going to be with him forever. You're mm-hmm. not leaving.
Yes. No,
that solving for loneliness is right there. He's there. And
yeah.
It may not look like what some, you know, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm saying. It's like some movie, but your definition,
right.
You have needs, and he is there. And I bet he's more than willing to meet you in some way.
Yeah. I think I'm afraid that he's not.
That's normal.
Yeah.
What if he's afraid? What if he's thinking the same thing? I really love to connect with Paula. I'm just afraid.
Yeah.
Or maybe he doesn't have the capacity.
Yeah, I think it's more that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because like when I do bring it up, he'll say, okay, I'm sorry. Well, I'll work on that. And he gets better for a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it may be, it's sort of like, you know, Corinne talks a lot about how, you know, her relationship with Chris and how their needs are different and how she asks for what she wants. And I can promise you this, not asking is far worse than asking.
Yeah, I know. And I have through the years, definitely. Believe me, I mean, it has definitely come a long way. I do ask. I mean, you know, I used to cry at Christmas because, you know, he was thoughtless. And it wasn't that he was thoughtless, but it froze, you know, he froze. He didn't know what to, you know, to do. So now, yeah, I mean, you know, if I don't ask, I won't get, you know, anything for Christmas or birthdays or whatever. And I know I need to take care of myself, but I also have feelings, you know, and, you know, you do get hurt. But I've done a lot of thought work, and listening to Corinne helps because, you know, a lot of the things that she says I can relate to, mm-hmm. you know, but
well,
I don't know.
It's interesting because you know, I don't want to hang up with you just yet because it doesn't feel quite like, what are you thinking? Would you ask your husband, what do you need?
Yeah, but my husband would say he doesn't need anything. I mean, what do I need?
Mm-hmm.
I think I need some time with him. You know, I definitely feel like I do. I mean, normally when I do feel like that, I end up calling one of my sisters, you mm-hmm. know, and talking with them. And I mean, they, you know, they fill in a lot of the blanks for me.
Mm-hmm.
my sisters or my girlfriends or whatever. But I think that's what I've done for many years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, again, maybe the food too, obviously.
And it makes sense, especially because, you know, 20 years ago, you were a different woman, right? Mm-hmm. And I had even less understanding of our thoughts and feelings 20 years ago than we do now.
Absolutely.
I can imagine being, you know, a young bride or, you know, what, when this, I don't know when this started, but, you know, the brain would tell stories to try and explain his behavior. Did you know he was on the spectrum?
No. Yeah. No, not at all.
Yeah.
That was a struggle in the beginning more so. I'm more understanding and more accepting, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, and he's not been diagnosed officially at all. And he would probably, he would be like, are you kidding me? But he really is. And all of the people that know him, I mean, totally agree that, you know, I mean, that's a part of the way that he, you know, the reason for the ways that he is. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that, you know, he doesn't have the peace that it takes to do what he needs to do. He doesn't understand, you know, the importance to me. And when I tell him, he's like, okay, I'm sorry, I'll fix that. And like I said, you know, he will for a couple of weeks and then, well, it's just,
but then this is where again, like, you taking responsibility for your needs. And if he's willing to meet you halfway, then keeping the reminders or keeping it interesting or, you know, on a schedule of some sort that, you know, Tuesday nights at 4:30 in the afternoon, we're laying naked in the bed together and I'm making this happen for you here. Whatever it is that you need.
Yeah.
And because it sounds like he's more than willing.
Yeah.
And he is. The story you're going to need to work on for yourself is, you know, you have a man that is willing to meet you halfway. And it's going to require you to ask to have your needs met. And it's not much different in the other marriages. Just because he's on the spectrum, there are many marriages. Give me some thumbs up in the chat, y'all. How many of y'all are asking your husbands for your needs met and your husband is not on the spectrum? Can you see that? I don't know if you can see it.
Yes, I can. But trust me, I was married before to somebody who didn't care about anything.
Yeah. Our responsibility to meet our needs. They are not mind readers.
Right. Yeah.
And I think what's so compelling about what your situation going on is you have him there in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Right there. And y'all are like in separate rooms. You couldn't be further apart and you're not connecting. And you have to have thoughts of like, this sucks.
I do.
And like, and just kind of it gets layers and layers of not a great feeling.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I think I'm going to have a conversation.
Get yourself a special little calendar where you can keep track of like what you would like and, you know, and maybe it's holding hands, watching TV together. Maybe it's 5 minutes of eye to eye contact. Maybe it's, you know, walking around the outside holding hands. I don't know, but you get what fun you can have. Turn it into an exciting event, not a like, woe is me, I got to ask for my needs.
Right.
But, this could be like, you know, new gas in the tank for this marriage.
Yep, you're right.
It just,
thank you, Judith.
Thinking new thoughts like, I deserve, I'm worthy, he's willing, and I'm willing.
I will. I thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Have a good evening. Keep me in touch. Let me know how it goes.
I will.
Okay.
I will. Thanks, Judith.
Thank you. Right.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Okay, y'all. We just went a little over time. Thank you so much. We are done for the evening. And now there is one Q&A. Okay. The question is, I'd love to know which program this thought work in relationships and feeling is in. Urges 2.0, I have the same situation with my husband and feeling lonely and eating. Colleen, this, I know that it is addressed in trusting your body under the feelings part, right? But not so much about, I'm going to have to think on this one. And Colleen, I will just make a, trying to think how I'll get the message to you. I'll post it in the Facebook group on Monday. How's that? And I'll just say, Colleen, or if you type me your last name, nobody else can see it. And I'll get a message to you. Or you could email support. No, ask coaches. That's how you could do it. Ask this and ask coaches and let me have a minute to figure this out. I think that's a really great question. So how's that? Colleen, ask coaches. Ask your question in there and then I can answer it. And then that way you'll be able to find it. Okay, y'all, thanks again. I'm going to check here. Looks like great call. Thanks so much for being here. Loneliness and nighttime urges, y'all. It is a thing, loneliness. I'm sending all the love to y'all tonight on Friday night. Thank you so much for being here. And maybe you got your Mega Millions ticket. Maybe somebody's going to win that $1 billion. Did y'all hear that? I know, right? I am not up to date on COVID, but we have a little convenience store and we sell those tickets. It is unbelievable. Human brains buffer, y'all. By the way, that's my tie-in with the tickets. Human brains are going to buffer one way or another. Let's not shame ourselves for it. Let's normalize it. Let's get it working for us and having understanding and compassion for the human brain and what we go through. Grateful for y'all. Okay. Good night. Good night. Billion with a B. That's right.